Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited Q2 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by SBI Cap Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dayanand Mittal from SBI Cap Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining in. We have with us BPCL management team represented by Mr. K. Sivakumar, Director Finance. We have Mr. R. Rajamani, ED Corporate Treasury. We also have Ms. Teresa Naidu, GM Finance, Pricing and Retirement Benefits, Mr. V. Ramakrishna Gupta, DGM, Corporate Finance, and we have Mr. Ganesan Jayapal, Manager, Pricing and Insurance. With this, I would like to hand over the call to the management. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Dayanand. Good afternoon, one and all. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would make during this con call may be forward-looking in nature, and we believe that expectations contained in such statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. These forward-looking statements represent only the current expectations and beliefs, and we do not provide any assurance that such expectations will prove correct. We are happy to share with you that in September 2017, the Government of India has conferred BPCL with a Maharatna status. Secondly, we are in the process of implementing the pay revision for our management staff effective 1st January 2017. As stated in previous calls, we had made provisions in the accounts for 4Q FY17, 1Q FY18 and now also in 2Q FY18. We had introduced a voluntary retirement scheme in July 2017 this year, which was opted by around 226 employees, and I have retired with effect from 30 September 2017. Moving on to our financial results highlights, we have entered the half year with a profit after tax of Rs. 3,102 crores as against Rs. 3,926 crores for the same period last year. Gross under-recoveries on sale of SCO PDS were at Rs. 320 crores as against Rs. 646 crores for the same period last year. Net under-recoveries after accounting subsidy have been nil. Adventitious gain on inventory amounted to Rs. 185 crores for the quarter as against a loss of Rs. 363 crores in 2Q FY17. For the period April-September 2017, there is an inventory loss of Rs. 546 crores as compared to Rs. 920 crores gain for the same period last year. These are inventory gains losses in the marketing business alone. Moving on to refineries, we are happy to share that all units at Kochi have been fully commissioned and are now under stabilization. As you would have seen in the handout, the processing of high sulfur crude has increased. Our refineries throughput for this quarter stood at 7 million tons, which is about 9% higher than Q1 FY18 due to the incremental capacity coming in from Kochi refinery and also a lower base in MR in our Mumbai refinery due to plant shutdown for some days in Q1 FY18. Our weighted average gross refining margins for the two refineries for this quarter stood at $7.97 per barrel as compared to $3.08 per barrel for the same quarter last year. After removing the impact of inventory gain, the core GRM amounts to $6.50 per barrel. On the market front, we grew our domestic sales volume by around 10% from 8.93 million metric tons to 9.79 million metric tons. The growth was mainly led by petrol around 8.9%, LPG 11.5% and diesel around 3.2%. Another highlight is that our market share in diesel for 2Q FY18 has been around 27.05% as compared to 26.31% as at the end of quarter 1, 2018. We are now open for the question and answer round. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Badrinath Srinivasan from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I have two. First, if you look at the, like you said, the high sulfur intake, it's increased meaningfully QOQ. Is it possible to quantify of the $2 gain which you've spoken about from Kochi, how much has been captured in this current quarter?
As we have said in the handout, there has been an increase in the high sulfur consumption in Kochi. That is primarily because all the units have got commissioned. But the meaningful increase in the high sulfur consumption as a percentage of the total crude intake will further go up in the coming months. So I think in order to quantify how much of the differential that we were talking about, I think at this point in time it will be a little bit premature, because the increase in the high sulfur intake for the first time has been substantial in September. But we expect now going forward that to be more. So I think maybe in the following quarters we should be in a better position to judge. So at this point in time we have not estimated what is the impact of, as you can see the percentage has gone up to around what, 62%. So, but we are in the process of even taking it further higher. Once that is done, we will be in a better position to sort of evaluate how much incremental GRMs has been contributed by this high sulfur percentage.
And the second question is two on the balance sheet. First part is you haven't capitalized yet about 4,600 crores. So could you just help us understand what this corresponds to? Is it part of Kochi? And the timeline when you will capitalize it? And second part of the question is in the other current liabilities, it has doubled in the past 6 months. So that, my understanding, is typically statutory liabilities. It's gone from about 4,000 crores to 8,300 crores. So just the other current liabilities, if you can tell us why it's doubled.
Yeah, just 1 minute. The other current liabilities, we will just...
Badrinath,
this current liabilities you are talking about, comparison with what, 31-3-2017?
Yes, sir. Past 6 months.
Yeah, so if you see, one thing is, as of 31st March 2017, all the statutory dues like excise and all would have been paid off. That will get paid off in the normal course only by the 6th of the following month. The only exception is March, where everything is paid off by 31st March. So to that extent, there will be a difference if you are comparing the current liability position as of the fiscal year end and any other quarter during the year. That's one part. Although I don't have the quantum substantially, but typically excise duty and all will be about 4,000 crores plus. So that will be one major factor when you are comparing between 31st March and any other period. Secondly, as far as work in progress is concerned, what you are talking about, there will be a portion which will be in respect of the petrochemical project, which is work in progress. In fact, during the period April to September, we have capitalized around 7,500 crores on account of the IREP project itself. So whatever balance is there could be some residual capitalization in respect of IREP, but more important, the work in progress on account of projects including PDPP, the polypropylene derivative project, will also be there. So that's what would account for the work in progress mainly.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Mayur Patel from DSP BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers and pretty good comeback on the market share front. Sir, just want to, first question is very bookkeeping, and I want to understand in the products breakup in marketing, we have seen a very big jump in the others category. Can you just give us some idea about which specific product helped us? Because this went up from 0.96 to 1.39 year on year.
There has been a jump in naphtha sales. There has been a jump in naphtha sales, which is one major factor. The other one which will be also there is from Kochi, the petcoke sales will also be there included in the others. So these two are the major contributors, if I can use the word, which has contributed to the jump in others.
And the high sulfur high sulfur crude, which you know, went up significantly to 62% in this quarter.
Yeah.
Sir, when Kochi is running at more than 100%, whenever it happens over next few months or whatever may be the timeline, at that time, what could be the peak high sulfur as a percentage of total crude for BPCL, which we can, you know, target over a medium term?
No, Mayur, in terms of the capability of the refinery, once the IREP units, everything stabilizes and is operating in the normal course, the refinery would have the flexibility to even do 100% of high sulfur crude processing. So it will essentially boil down to the flexibility that will be available and will be a decision based on, you know, the prices and the type of product that you want. So what I'm trying to say is that it is capable, it will be capable of even doing 100% of high sulfur, and in case the economics warrant, it can even shift to low sulfur crude. So that flexibility will be available. So the answer to your question, the potential can be as high as 100% of high sulfur crude.
100% in Kochi?
Kochi. We are talking about Kochi now.
Okay. Okay. No, because I think the 62% is at the company level, which is mentioned for this quarter, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is 62% at the company level, and obviously that has also been contributed by a significant increase in high sulfur in Kochi in the month of September. Since it is only 1 month, that's why to the previous question I said that, you know, for us to work out what is the impact will not be known. But when I say 100%, I'm talking now only about Kochi.
Sure, sir. So, just if you can allow me one more question. So, on Kochi, sir, can you just give us the status? All the units are fully commissioned, or what is the status currently, and also in terms of stabilization, want to take your commentary?
Yeah, so if you recall the last call, we had said that the HCCU is one unit which is yet to be commissioned. That has also been commissioned now, and that is also operating. It is gradually getting scaled up. Now it is at 50-60%, it is already operating. The other units which were earlier commissioned, those have all got stabilized and they are running in. Even the delayed coker is running at around 80-90%. So the units other than the FCCU, which was one of the last units to be commissioned, they are already operating. FCCU, we expect the scaling up to happen maybe in this current quarter. So that's where we are. So all the units as such have been commissioned and have started operation.
Okay. So should we expect, sir, all the units, including FCCU, to operate at full levels for the March quarter?
See, that's what we have been saying, that by the end of the third quarter we should be. So let's just wait for this quarter to be over, we will know. As of now, they are running, but we would like to wait for this quarter to end, then we will have an idea in terms
And your guidance remains $2 improvement because of this product, because of this project.
It is $2, but as I pointed out in the earlier calls also, there will be some increase in the operating cost also. So $2 at the gross margin level, after knocking off some incremental cost, the balance would be the incremental net margin.
Sure, sir. I'll come back for more questions. All the best.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Amit Shah from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Can you also give us the petrol market share, what it was last quarter and this quarter?
Yeah. Amit,
yeah,
you are talking about petrol, right?
Yeah.
So petrol was more or less static around 27%. When this we are talking about, keeping in mind the both private and public sector all put together.
Okay. And just a follow up question on that. So this diesel market share, you know, which, you know, in the last quarter you had guided that there is a chance that you guys are taking initiatives to ensure that the diesel market share loss is stemmed and actually increase, which is what has happened this quarter. So is this sustainable, and how did you go about this?
So as we had said in the last call, you know, from the Jan-March, and then even in the first quarter of this year, we had seen a loss of market share. Our director of finance in the last call had spoken about the various measures that we are taken to sort of ensure that we arrest the fall and in fact start looking at gaining. So those are basically measures aimed at improving the service and other aspects of the business. At the end of the day, this is a service-oriented business. So we have seen the results which have started growing, and we are confident that all these measures and other measures that we will on an ongoing basis take in the market will help us sustain this regaining of market share. So we believe, and just one moment, Director of Finance would like to also add.
Actually, the October results also pointed in the same direction.
Okay, perfect. That's good to know. And one last thing, any chance that you would be sharing your EBITDA numbers for refining and marketing in the future?
We are examining it. We have some, we will have to also look at our system. The way our systems are, it is not something which is directly available. We are examining it. There are other aspects to be considered. Based on that, we will take a call later.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Prabal Sen from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Good afternoon. Just following up on the market share point that Amit was mentioning, just wanted to understand, sir, has pricing strategy played a role at all in terms of regaining market share, in terms of have we used, let's say, dynamic pricing to maybe aggressively price it in areas where private competition is the highest? And if so, has it had an impact on our margins overall? Just wanted to get a sense of this.
No, the margins have been stable over the quarter. We are not seeing anything different or anything. But it's a combination of all the measures which we spoke about in the last call. So essentially, it was all about ensuring that the customer not only is retained, but also his share of the volumes are increased. So it's a combination of all, both pricing as well as the service factors which have contributed to this. So, and we expect that to be sustained in the coming quarters also.
So, sir, if I may to put a number to this, the EBITDA margins remain around 1.8 rupees a litre for both petrol and diesel.
Yeah, around 1.75 to 1.8 per litre.
And that hasn't really changed over the last quarter at all. Hello?
That has not changed, Amit.
Okay. Sir, the other question was with regard to the, overall volume growth that we have seen. Obviously, the growth in our numbers is well above that reported by the PPAC in terms of industry growth. Now, I'm aware that the composition is a bit different. But can this gap between what we have grown at versus PPAC numbers be explained by this petcoke and naphtha alone? Or are there any other sort of reasons behind it? Because from what I understand, PPAC number was hardly about 1.3% for the quarter, while we've obviously reported a much, much stronger number in domestic sales.
No, we are talking about quarter-on-quarter numbers. So, obviously, naphtha growth for us has been there in this quarter. I do not know the composition or the base of PPAC, but going forward, it's something which we will have to see. I'm not saying that that is something which will be the same or different, but this, what we spoke about naphtha and petcoke was something which pertained to the period April to September.
And we are seeing healthier volume trends, sir, in terms of October and November as well, in terms of industry growth and what we are looking at in terms of our marketing volumes?
I'm not too sure. I have not seen the October numbers. I wouldn't know. November is too early. I have not seen the October numbers to have any comment to offer at this point in time.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back if I have more questions.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to understand that the adjusted GRMs that have been reported, the GRM adjusted for the inventory gain, are they reflective of the underlying core GRMs, or in your view, these are they do not fully reflect what the core GRMs of the company would have been?
See, we have given you the core GRM and also the reported GRM. Of course, the inventory loss gain is something which is a factor which we have separately shown. So, given the fact that there will at any point in time always be an opening stock and a closing stock at each period, whether it is of crude or whether it is of finished product intermediate, there will be some sort of a lag and some impact which can, you know, spill over to the subsequent periods. So to that extent, there will be. Otherwise, we are reflective of what the refinery has actually delivered. But yes, there will be some impact which will still be there, time lag or whatever you may call it, because of the inventory being there, both crude as well as the finished stock and intermediates.
Sure, sir. So secondly, on the marketing side, given there has been so much noise on retail prices and marketing margins, sir, if you were to, if you were to assume that marketing margins per liter of diesel was at X rupees per liter in the June quarter, where would the marketing margins for diesel be in September quarter and on spot basis? Would it be higher than X, lower than X? We're just trying to broadly understand, have they materially moved than what was seen in the first quarter?
As I said, no, there has not been any significant change in the marketing margin. It has been stable at around that 1.75 levels only. There has not been any significant change in the second quarter.
Sure, sir. Thank you. And sir, lastly, sir, the depreciation reported and the interest expense reported for the second quarter, is should we assume that to be the steady state going forward, or is there more capitalization which should come through and take this levels higher?
There will be some incremental capitalization which will still come of IREP because some residual amounts will capitalization should happen. After that, we will see a steady state. But only thing is, let me also say, if you are talking about steady state quarter on a quarterly basis, yes. But if you are looking at it half year and then that will be the for the full year, that will need some adjustment because the second quarter additions, the depreciation would be proportionate. So to that extent, and in fact, the depreciation I understand gets done on a monthly basis. So therefore, to that extent, if you are drawing a conclusion for the quarter or for the year, that adjustment will need to be done.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Rakesh Sethia from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. Two questions, sir. Firstly, on the CapEx front, if you could, remind us of the guidance for this year and next year and how much we have spent year till date. And secondly, related to CapEx, how much of the petrochemical CapEx has been done? And how much is spending? And if you could just remind us the timeline again, that would be helpful.
So Rakesh, these actual capex is about 3,060 crores in the year. Okay, that has been the actual expenditure. Our estimate for this full year is about 7,800 crores. So that is where we are as far as capex is concerned. And out of this 3,000 crores, since we have spent about 140 crores on the petrochemical project period during the 6 months, there has been some residual expenditure of IREP of around 435 crores. So therefore, out of that 3,000 crores, talking about around 830 crores in the refinery side, this is of course excluding maintenance capex. Maintenance capex will be around another 400 crores in both the refineries put together. Balance would be in marketing, except that on the upstream side there has been about 300 crores. That's the broad breakup of the actual capex.
And so would this...
one more thing you wanted to know, Petchem, till date we have spent about 950 crores.
That's out of 5,000 odd crores.
Yeah, out of the cost, we have spent about 950 crores totally till date.
And sir, when this project is expected to be completed?
Around January or February of 2019.
Okay, so 2018 would have the large part of this capex probably coming in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so what's the capex guidance for 2019 if you have?
8,100.
Yeah, 8,100
is the broader number.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Vidyadhar Ginde from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah, thank you. One is the usual customary on BORL and Numaligarh. If you can give us the Q2 H1 GRM and profit numbers.
Yeah, which are the GRM for BORL in the second quarter, that is July-September, is about $11.2. This is, I am talking about the reported GRM.
Yeah.
For April to September, it comes to around 10.6. And as far as the profit after tax of BORL is concerned, for this quarter it is 307 crores. And the half-yearly April to September is 453 crores.
Okay, and for Numaligarh?
Numaligarh will be, with the excise duty, this one it's about $28. And it'll be around $28, both July, September, April, and the profit after tax will be 467 crores in this quarter and 838 cumulative.
467 and 838.
Yes.
And okay, thanks on this. And the other question just wanted to ask is that you had in the last call mentioned about improving market share over the next two quarters, and we clearly are seeing that happening, especially on diesel in the Q2.
Mm-hmm.
And as the Director of Finance mentioned, it's the trend continues in October. But you had also mentioned that there would be a multi-pronged strategy.
Yes.
And pricing strategies would also be a part of it. So what I'm really trying to gauge is that, because initially we were all, I think at least I was under the impression that most of the competition is really coming from private. Are we also seeing a little bit of competition now happening even within the state-owned players?
See, the market is deregulated. So the
correct.
Earlier we used to make a distinction of private public. Now it is there. Everybody is competing in the market. So it is something where it hardly makes a difference whether it is X or Y. All the players are competitive. All the players would like to have the market shares. So I think that is now clearly visible on the ground.
So strategic pricing is becoming a tool than maybe it was 9 months, 1 year ago.
No, it will be one of the...
No, I agree. You said focus on surveys and mentioned several other factors, yes.
That has been our primary focus, because that is something which we felt that there has been some sort of... that's an area where I think we needed to improve upon, which has been done. And that is now we are seeing it reflecting in the sales.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sumit Rohra from Smartsun Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Very good afternoon to you. And, sir, thank you for taking my question. So, you know, I basically, wanted to ask you, on two aspects, if you can throw light on, sir. Currently, how are marketing margins faring? Because, I read, a lot that, because of crude prices being higher at about 63 odd, marketing margins have plummeted. So, sir, can you please throw your light on marketing margins currently after September 30th? And, sir, secondly, also, can you please throw some light, on how GRMs are currently, and in particular, how are petrol, diesel, and ETF crack, LPG cracks currently, sir?
So the as you would know, the crude prices is not something which we refer to for fixing of the prices. Our pricing is fixed based on the international prices of the petrol, diesel, and the rupee dollar exchange rate. So that we continue doing it. Now coming to the margin part, as I answered in the earlier questions also, the margins have been stable over the last quarter and even slightly before that also. So we are not seeing any significant change in the sort of marketing margin or anything like that. As regards the cracks, as you know, we track the Singapore crack, and in line with whatever is there, we are seeing the GRMs tracking that, and maybe we are seeing the Singapore cracks be slightly lower than what it was, say, in August and September. I think that trend we will have to see whether going forward it is strengthening. If so, then that will reflect in the GRMs of this quarter.
Sure, sir. So, I mean, it's very encouraging, and thank you very much, sir, for basically stating that, you know, our marketing margins are stable and there's absolutely nothing which is basically been feared by markets. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks a lot for your time. Just wanted the breakup of FY19 CAPEX by, say, segment, if you can.
Vishnu, can I give you that? Because that, I don't have it readily, so Ganeshan will send it to you separately. If it is
got it, sir. So just wanted to, got the point, sir. We don't have any mega plans after this expansion that we have done, only our petrochemical project. Just wanted to get your view, similar to other OMCs, are we planning any next mega push in terms of setting up any standalone refineries on our own balance sheet, or... just wanted to get your view, say, how do we see at FY20 in terms of refining capex or large capex spends?
So we have, as a matter of strategy, we have been following a philosophy wherein we build up the refining capacity and then allow our marketing volumes to grow before we get into any major refinery investment. So with Kochi now coming on stream, there is a sort of balance between marketing and refining, and in fact the marketing volumes have again started to create that gap. So going forward, the immediate this one would be the creeping expansion which is currently underway in Bina, where the capacity will go up from 6 million to 7.8 million tons by end of next calendar year. And thereafter, depending on how the market goes, we will take a view in terms of further refining investment. So that is something which is the position as of now.
Any indicative refining to marketing ratio you look at, sir, before you plan any CAPEX?
No, there is no such hard and fast. So generally, we allow some 20-25% gap before we, that gap is then addressed. So that's the philosophy which we have followed. Now there's 30 to 36 million of refining capacity. The volume has already crossed, it's already nearing 40. So that sort of a gap we ensure before we commit the investment.
Got it, sir. Sir, and if you could just update on your upstream plans, we are hearing that probably in 2018 you will take an FID for your Mozambique. If you could.
So sometime in the middle of next year, we hope the FID of Mozambique to happen.
Okay, and any target investment that you'll be doing as an equity from your book?
That will depend on the final cost and the financing structure that will be putting in place. So by the time the FID is finalized, there will be clarity in terms of what is going to be the cost and the ECA funding, how much is going to happen. Then we will get an idea in terms of how much equity we will need to infuse.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Aditya Makharia from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just wanted to know, when will the Kochi expansion, stabilize?
Right. All the units have been already commissioned and in the various stages of... stabilization,
right?
And by Q4, I think all the units should operate in full capacity.
Okay, and that's when we can start seeing the improvement in the GRM. Or you think that will take longer?
No, somewhere around that. We have been saying after the third quarter of this year, we should be seeing that impact, and then once everything is stabilized, then that impact should be a sustainable impact.
Okay, so essentially March quarter.
Yeah, to begin, at this point in time, yes.
Okay, got you. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Aditya Suresh from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I just have one question as a follow-up on Kochi. So in one of the presentations on your website in the World Petroleum Conference in July, I think, you'll refer to an $11 refining margin for the Kochi refinery, which is about $6 above... at least in that presentation slide. Can you confirm some of the assumptions underpinning this? Thank you.
I have no idea about which this presentation, so I wouldn't be in a position to comment upon that, because unless I know what is the basis and what are the underlying assumptions, not fair for me to comment.
Fair enough. I'll circle back on that. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sanjay Mukim from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I wanted to go back to the issue of marketing margins. Most of us calculate your marketing EBITDA by stripping out the refining GRM and assumed OPEX from your reported EBITDA and whatever inventory Forex we know of. And even though you say that the marketing margins have been relatively stable on a per unit basis, the implied marketing EBITDA tends to move a lot. So our numbers would suggest that they've improved on a sequential basis. How do we interpret that, sir? If the margins on petrol diesel are stable, is it fair to assume that the margins on the non-auto fuels cause this volatility?
Yeah, I mean, as I keep saying that the other than petrol and diesel, the entire business, which is basically in the competitive, what you call the direct business, as we call it, so there will be changes there which probably lead to your conclusion, but I would necessarily have to see the numbers before saying that, you know, that is the reason. But I would imagine that will be a significant contributor.
So, and the reason I asked is to check if there has been some relief in the second quarter, something specific BPCL has done to gain in that segment for 2Q.
I'm not aware of anything specific, but it's an ongoing thing. I mean, there are businesses where new businesses are won, some businesses may be lost. Many of them are tendered businesses. So based on those terms and all that, if there could be some, there could also be some impact on the arising on account of operating expenses and all those things. For example, in the case of refinery, as I said, there is an increase in the OPEX as the units of the Kochi are coming in. So when you are doing a derivation, all these factors will also have an impact. That's something which will also need to be considered.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ritesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Ritesh from Ambit. So just wanted to check, now as the daily pricing has been implemented, how are you calculating your RTP that you charge your marketing business from refining business?
The RTP continues to be revised every fortnight.
Okay. And is there like a difference in the accounting that you do and the RTP that you charge to the, so just from the taking cues from the other OMCs, is there accounting difference between the way you calculate your GRMs now and the RTP that you charge to the marketing? Or is it the same price?
No. As I said, the revision in the RTP happens every fortnight. So there is no change. I am not aware of any other change in the accounting and all those things.
Okay, sir. That clarifies. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from Sabri Hazarika from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. You mentioned that your NAFTA sales have like gone up significantly. So was it something specific or it's just normal sales growth?
No, it was some particular new business which had.
Hello?
Yeah, it was arising out of some new business which the industrial and commercial business had got. So that is what contributed to the increase in the volume.
So this run rate is recurring or it is for this quarter only?
No, it depends. These products, the demands will keep changing. These are all linked to international prices and what the end consumer is going to use. So I'm not in a position to say whether this will continue, whether it will grow or anything like that.
Okay, so and second question is, currently you have got certain warrants in this Bharat Oman. So effectively, what would be the shareholding of yours in BORL? It's more than 70% if I convert those warrants.
As of now, the equity is 50-50. The warrants are there, and we will have to see at the time the warrants get converted. At that point in time, only we can see. So we are not considering the warrants in calculating equity stake of 70, whatever number you are saying. So as of now, it's only 50-50.
Okay. Sanson, one small question. What are your thoughts on the GAIL acquisition currently?
No comments on this because these are something which came in the press. Beyond that, at least for me, I have no other comments to offer at this point in time.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ahuja from BOB Caps. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. I just like to extend, revert back to the question what Sanjay was asking on the marketing margins. Now, as you mentioned, there has been a volatility in margins from the products other than petrol and diesel. So if we were to reconcile, which are the products that add to the margin significantly and which are the ones that dilute? If you can clarify that, that would help us.
I like to get into the detail without which I cannot. It's something which is very difficult to answer offhand. Maybe we'll have to look at it offline.
Sure, sir. I'll contact you on that. So, secondly, when it comes to the way the marketing margins are calculated and the way the prices are passed on to the consumers, so last fortnight we've seen a sharp spike in crude prices, and what optically looks like is your marketing margins have fallen if we do a daily RTP. But would it be fair to assume that come tomorrow or tonight onwards, the next fortnight will see some steeper price hikes in petrol diesel than what we've seen in the last fortnight to pass on the crude prices? Would that be fair to assume? And then the margins optically would normalize?
As we said, that the revision in the market prices we do on a daily basis based on the international prices and the rupee dollar exchange rate. Now, what will be the changes and all that tomorrow, day after? At this point in time, I'm not in a position to sort of estimate.
But I was in the assumption that the last fortnight RTP change is what is passed on in the next fortnight through daily price changes to the consumers. So,
no, as I said, the RTP changes happens every fortnight.
Yeah.
And the prices of the daily change of prices happens based on the prevailing international prices and the rupee dollar exchange rate. So to that extent, while yes, both are using the same basis, it's not that, you know, based on the RTP, there is an immediate. So it's a formula based on which we keep changing, and that has been continuing since the time the daily pricing mechanism was introduced.
Like, so let's say tonight, for example, your RTP would go up quite sharply given the price, crude price increase. Would that mean that if you were to extrapolate just, for example, 3 rupee hike in diesel, for example?
Oh, I don't know.
It will be divided in 15 days over the next 14 days and then passed on to consumers gradually. That's how?
I don't know. As I said, I don't want to get into the calculations and the impact and all that at this point.
Yeah. Right. So it could be probably petrol, but for other industrial products, it's like a different pricing methodology straight away passed on, or it's...
Other products are all, there's no daily trading or anything like that.
It's market determined.
It's, and finally, industrial and here, it's market determined. It's what the market is willing to pay.
Right. So lastly, on Mozambique, now we've seen crude prices go to 65. At what roughly on your calculation, what level of crude does this project becomes very lucrative and investments can pick up very fast? Is there a particular break-even level where you can mention that?
No, we don't look at it that way. We have been in this project on a long-term basis, and now we had entered at a very early stage. So even earlier when the crude prices were low, we were maintaining the same thing that for us, the project was still lucrative, and if the crude is going to go up and remain at higher levels, becomes more lucrative. So we are not looking at the crude price movements to have any. We were there at the early stage, and our investment still date also, even at a lower crude price, it makes it a very viable.
I was from perspective of consortium, because companies like ONGC and Oil India, which have been late entrants and have paid a premium valuation for the stake. So as a consortium, what is the kind of break-even level they're looking at for?
See, the point, that's what I'm also making. The consortium has been working on achieving the FID by middle of next year. So it is not that they have started working only because the crude prices have started going up. They have been, the entire consortium was working towards that even at the lower level of prices. If the, again, the question of whether the crude having gone up, whether it will be at this level, those are issues which nobody can predict. So therefore, at this point in time, the consortium has been working towards the FID and not been, you know, really sort of bogged down by crude prices either being low or saying that crude prices are high and becomes lucrative. In any case, this is a very long-term project.
Right. So do we see positively in the first half in 2018 that this FID being finalized? And
that's the estimate at this point in time.
Okay, sir. So thanks for the opportunity. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Anand Agarwal from DSP BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Anand from BlackRock. So let me try to ask the question directly. I mean, for the last 8 or 10 days, we've not seen much of a change in the retail prices, while the product prices and the exchange rate has moved higher. So has there been any significant competitive or other reasons for that to happen?
On a daily basis, we are changing the prices. Now, I don't want to go beyond that to say that what is we are changing the prices on a daily basis depending on how the international prices are or the rupee dollar exchange rates are.
That is the question, sir. I mean, that the last 8 to 10 days, the international prices and rupee dollar have moved up significantly higher, I mean, relatively, while the daily pricing or the retail pricing hasn't changed much. I mean, there might have been very small changes. So I'm just thinking, I mean, just trying to figure out, has there been a significant competitive change in competitive environment or I mean, I don't know. I mean, what else could be the reason?
As we said earlier, also, the international daily pricing mechanism, the retail selling price of petrol and diesel are being revised after considering the changes in the international prices and the rupee dollar exchange rate. That is the same basis it is being done.
Okay. I mean, anyways, okay. On the Kochi expansion, I mean, when do we expect our product mix to be as per our final output? I mean, or by when do we think we'll be able to achieve the optimal product mix as well?
So, as we said even in the last by this third quarter, we expect all the units to stabilize. So, I think in the first quarter of the next calendar year, we should be seeing that both the utilization as well as the product slate the way we want. So that to be achieved with the new units.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you. We thank Dayanand and thank all the investors and analysts for joining in the call. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of SBI Cap Securities, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.